All right, everybody grab your seats. No more Pharaoh.
We gotta go.
That's right. We do have quite a few announcements this morning, guys, I want to throw out there. So please, most of them are in your bulletin. However, not everyone reads the bulletin and or does not read all the specifics within the bulletin. Therefore, please listen for just a moment because we got some really important announcements to put forth. One of which, if you got this flyer that was at the front of the church this morning, on April 6th, this is a dinner in Kosciuszko to honor the first responders that were there that fateful day when the tragedy took place. This is an opportunity to come together and just to tell them thank you. Now, the church is all invited, but there's some specifics here I want to make sure to point out, one of which, childcare is not provided for this. So please make proper arrangements. Thank you for your children. If you're going to be coming, come. And this is a great opportunity to say thank you. The other thing I want to make sure to point out on here as well is at the bottom of this sheet, there is a voucher code. They need to know how many people are coming, get food ready, such as that. And they've given you a code to register by. Please do not post this on Facebook because that code is for us. It's for the church. It's so that we can go and they know how many people are coming without opening it up to a whole lot of other entities that doesn't need to be there. So please don't post this on your Facebook pages. It's for you to take and use that code to register to show that, hey, I'm going to come and we're going to be a part of that. So childcare is not provided and the code does not need to be posted. That's for you to be able to register. Is Sherry in here? Did I miss anything on that one? Okay, good deal. Is there any more back there, Daryl, for those who didn't get any, or is there still more? Yes, so there's still some of the flyers back there if you did not get one. Okay, quite a few announcements, as I said, that was the survivors. The next Saturday is our church-wide invitation from the veterans of the Sutherland Springs American Memorial. This is the opportunity they have given. They're opening up their facilities, as David spoke about so eloquently last Sunday from the pulpit. This is folks who are helping wounded warriors and such, but they are opening this up for us as the survivors, as the church as well, to go Saturday. It was going to be a fish fry. It's a barbecue now, but you're going to go and just have a great time. If you have not signed up, there is a sign up, or actually, is that what's on this? Never mind, I have the sign-up sheet, but I will make sure it goes on the back table. If you haven't already signed up and you plan on going Saturday, again, this is an opportunity for them to see how much food to make and such for that. So if you would like to come to that, that is Saturday. Sunday, somebody was saying that we were not going to have our sunrise service because of the events that have taken place. Guys, we haven't allowed that to stop us in any other venue. Why would we allow it to stop Easter of all times? Amen? We are going to have sunrise service, 7 o'clock, right out here out here in the field. We're going to set up a canopy for the band to be under. We're going to do things a little differently this Sunday morning and just come and see how we're going to do sunrise service at 7 o'clock, followed by breakfast as we normally do. The men will be putting together a pancake breakfast for us after the sunrise service, and then Julie will be heading up the resurrection eggs and such for the children after that. And then we'll go back to normal scheduling for Sunday school and 11 o'clock service following that. So there is sunrise service, 7 o'clock. If you find or hear people say, oh, I thought that was canceled, please let them know. We're going to be here. God opened that God rose and opened that cave and that stone rolled away. I think we can go out at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're having sunrise service outside. Yeah, we're going to be outside over here to the north side of the property over here, out there. So we have we used to sit up out front over here. Now that we have this property, there's less to impede our view of the sun coming up, and we're just going to have a blessed time. Well, parking that early probably won't be that many, but we'll kind of park further to that end if you can for the sunrise service, either over here or further to that end, because we'll be right outside the building with our canopy. You'll see the canopy. I'm having surgery Thursday. I was going to set all that up Saturday, so I'm just going to have to do it tomorrow, I guess, Monday or Tuesday. But you'll see the canopy set up all week. You'll see where it's at. Just kind of parts that we'll have plenty of space out here for our sunrise service. Okay, what else? Michelle, the ladies' retreat. This is the last opportunity to sign up for the ladies' retreat. If you are still wanting to go, you haven't signed up, please see Michelle about that so she can get you signed up for that. Thursday night, this is a busy week, guys. Thursday night, Eric Stephen is going to be here. Now, we are going to have our Thursday night class over next door as we normally do. David's going to be teaching that for us. But also the Christian rapper will be in here. And we've invited youth groups from other churches as well. So this will be a great time of fellowship, but a ministry of gospel music in rap form, and also his testimony shared with you guys. So if you want to come over here, there, or bounce back and forth, Thursday night's going to be a big night.
Pam and Helen are cooking turkey and dressing.
Turkey and dressing Thursday night. All right. Oh, that's my surgery day. Huh. All righty then. Okay, last but not least, and I know I've taken up a lot of your time with announcements this morning, and then I'll turn it over to Ian. But the other thing, if you did not already hear, Sherry has given me her notice, if you will, of working in the office. She said she just couldn't get along with the boss. Don't know. But we are taking applications for church secretary. If you would like to get with her or I, there's applications in the office for church secretary coming up as well. All right, that's enough for that. Now, Ian, come on up. Now, let me move all this stuff to the side. Let's just put it in there. There we go. Father God, I do lift up my brother to you again, and I just pray, Lord, that you just be with Ian. And God, I thank you for his willingness to come and open. I know he's a busy man, both at the church in San Antonio and here in his work and a family. But he still chooses to glorify you. So God, I pray that we hear you through him, and may you bless him and his wife and his baby, and just thank you, Lord, for their willingness and their diligence to come and share your word, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Brother.
Well, happy Palm Sunday on Sutherland Springs Campus. It's great to be here. Obviously, next weekend we have the opportunity to celebrate the culmination of, you know, just what makes us who we are, right, as Christians, right? But Palm Sunday was really kind of the opening act to that series of events that led to Easter Sunday, the reason that we get to celebrate that. So it's important to know what it is we believe, where it is that we came from, and so that we can fully appreciate just that wonderful event.
Can you turn the mic on?
Hello?
Sure. It doesn't have a switch. You need to have the power, the fan power on.
Okay. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah. Your voice is
right. Awesome. So, Palm Sunday, kind of interesting. Probably one of the greatest scenarios, if you would, or case studies in managing expectations. I mean, it was something that was so great expectations from a lot of different people, you know, a lot of different ways, and there was some very misplaced expectations. In customer service, it's known that one of the biggest parts of keeping the business running smoothly is you got to manage expectations. And it's always the same, it's better to underpromise and overdeliver than to overpromise and underdeliver. And, you know, the word is full of promises all throughout the Old Testament and even what Jesus had shared. And so there was a lot of expectation about, you know, what was going to happen. And there was a lot of excitement building and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, it looked like pieces were falling in place and we were going to finally see the fulfillment of this. Now, you know, there was a lot of different sides of what those expectations were. To the Pharisees, they had just kind of been incredulous all along. He was, you know, Jesus was a nuisance, a heretic. And at any opportunity, you know, at some point in time, he was going to finally say the wrong thing that was going to turn people against him, and we could finally be rid of this nuisance, right? To a lot of people, you know, he knew Zechariah and a lot of the other prophets about, you know, Jesus being that conquering, or excuse me, let me rephrase, the Messiah being the conquering deliverer. They didn't necessarily believe him to be that yet. You know, they were expecting a regime change. And Jesus coming and providing that, hey, it's time to finally throw off the physical oppressors and, you know, set up the kingdom of God as we understand it here on earth. And then the disciples, even though Jesus had a lot of disciples, you know, kind of various tiers of them, and even the 12 who were, at least, there's at least three different times in the Bible that Jesus shared with them, kind of, hey, here's a spoiler alert, you know, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, he's going to be, you know, flogged, he's going to be crucified, and he's going to rise. And, I mean, even though they had heard it, and, you know, Peter had said, you know, to whom will we go, you have the words of eternal life, they fully didn't comprehend that. And that's quite understandable, just for the insurmountable, just out of this world, you know, manifestations that was going to be, you know, that was going to take place and absolutely change the course of history, both for us here and now, thank the Lord, and just for you know, millions and millions of other people who come to share under this dispensation of grace. And it's just so important that each and every one of us have our expectations aligned with the Lord. The thing is that, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans, you know, Jesus or God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you future and a hope. So we have a thing where we have an expectation that God loves us, and he absolutely does. But how that manifests in our everyday life, you know, we live in this world, and we live in the flesh, and we live in sin, Lord help us, and we're constantly trying, or should be striving, to align our will, you know, with the will of the Lord, our mindset with the mindset of the Lord, so that the fruit of our lives can bear forth fruit that is both, you know, towards, you know, working towards our salvation, but also towards, you know, our happiness and health in this life, is dependent on the obedience of the Lord. You know, Psalms 18:30. God's way, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of the Lord like he's just going to hit me. It's realizing that God is God and I am not. You know, and if we can get ourselves aligned, you know, we'll all be a whole lot better. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So just briefly, before the worship band gets up back up here, thank you for allowing me today, but I think this is just a really, you know, important week. But I'd just like to go over, are we going to have the scripture on the... Awesome. We'll have the main scripture today, but this is going to be from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 46. So if you wish to turn there, please do so, or else the verses will be up on the screen. Here we go. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem as he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples and said, go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say this, the Lord have needs of it. You know, Jesus almost told him, hey, go take something that's not yours. Kind of amazing, but obviously that was a special case. But anyways, moving on. You know, but obviously, you know, if we know the word, it was to fulfill a prophecy. It says, so those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. And they were untying the young donkey. His owner said to them, why are you untying the donkey? The Lord needs it, they said. And they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloths on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on. As he was going along, they spread their clothes on the road. Now he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told them, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out. As he approached and saw the city, he wept for it, saying, if you knew this day, what would bring peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children among you to the ground, and they will leave, and they will not leave one stone upon another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you. He went into the temple and began to throw out those who were selling, and said, "It is written, my Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Kind of heavy stuff, so let's pray. Well, dear Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we come before you, and we thank you for revealing the word to us, and we thank you that we live under your dispensation, and that you have given us wisdom. Jeremiah, you know, continued, says, "You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Jesus, with all of our hearts, we want to search for you, and we want to find you, and we want to pray that you be in our midst, be in the praise and worship, make an acceptable offering to you. May us hear your words, and help us to never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them all.
trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal abiding prayer. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called and yonder I'll be there. When the roll is called and yonder, when the roll is called and yonder, when the roll is called and yonder, when the roll is called and yonder I'll be there.
Yeah. in our lives, whether good or bad, do we realize that it's in your arms, held by the one who loves us the most, that we can fight through and continue what you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 As you grab your seats this morning, Chris don't know it, but that's actually one of my most favorite songs ever, right there. Because I feel as though oftentimes, whether it's dealing with people, whether it's dealing with stuff, whether it's dealing with bills, whatever it is, sometimes I catch myself. In fact, I teared up just a moment ago just singing it because it reminds me how I can just run to the arms of my Heavenly Father. Amen. And I think of a little baby. You know, I love it when the kids in here run and just grab my legs, or my grandbabies come and grab my legs, because I feel as though they feel safe when they can do that. That's what I do to my Heavenly Father when I run to His arms, because no matter how mean you guys can be, my God still loves me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 10. I didn't give Morgan a heads up today, but John chapter 10, starting in verse 7, we're starting the passage off with this morning. I mean, the message off with it this morning. I was thankful when I talked to Ian earlier in the week, and he said that he was going to be bringing a Palm Sunday type message to you guys with a scripture reading, because God was changing this up. I think I spoke to you Friday or Saturday. I can't remember now, but I was like, thank you, Jesus. That's how God choreographs things, because God was changing up the message in my mind, what He wanted me to say, and I was a little bit disjointed in what I felt as though the Lord was laying on my heart. And then when I talked to Ian, I was like, okay, now I've been given a free road, a rein here, if you will, that God gave me. But in John chapter 10, I want us to look at something, because I feel that all of us at some point or another has had thieves enter into our lives, but even more so, things happen. People allow themselves to be used sometimes, but situations occur that steal things from us that we don't realize, like our joy. It steals our joy. It steals our love. It steals who we are as well. And I was thinking about that because some stuff happened this week that was just trying to steal the joy and steal the power. I don't know about you, when we sing the songs in here on Sunday morning, I feel the joy of the Lord. I know I am truly worshiping God. But there's things out there in the world that will go out of their way to try to steal that joy. Satan is going to use everything he can to steal the power of a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Well, in John chapter 10, I want us to notice what it says here. In John chapter 10, starting in verse 7, and this is Jesus speaking, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find good pasture. However, verse 10, a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, listen to the contrast here. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come so they may have life and have it more abundantly. Folks, we as Christians have been called to have an abundant life. We are to have a joyful life. And I would submit to you that when it's lacking in that area, it's because a thief has come and has stolen part of it from us. Now, I one of the things I was thinking about, I read parts of a book, an excerpt of a book, just a little while back, and it was, I can't remember the exact name, but it was like Dumb Crooks, or The Dumbest Things Crooks Do, or something like that. But some of the stories in that book just stood out to me, and it's stories about thieves who were not the brightest, if you will. One example was there was a gentleman who was going to go and siphon gas out of somebody's motorhome. And if you've ever, back in the old days, when you would siphon gas to put in your lawnmower or something like that, you inadvertently usually got a little bit in your mouth. Well, this guy realized he was siphoning on the sewer tank of the motorhome. Ouch. Another story in there was an intoxicated robber who actually called the police because the cashier wouldn't give him the money that he was requesting. You know, just things like that. There was a lady in the gas station who was asked by an armed robber to give her cash, and she said, well, why would I do that? And he said, well, I just thought that's what you were supposed to do, and he turned and walked out. Another one, he went into a Burger King at 7:45 in the morning, and demanded the cash. And she said, I can't give you any, I can't open my cash register unless you make a food order. So he said, okay, well then I'll order onion rings. She said, well, I don't sell onion rings till lunchtime. And in exasperation, he turned and walked away. These are the kinds of stories we laugh and we joke about this just a little bit. But if you've ever been the victim of a theft, if you've ever been that person who's had something taken from you, it's not so funny. Amen? Amen. It's not funny to have people steal from you. And I would bet that if I was to ask you if anybody in here has had something stolen in this time and era especially, I think every one of us has probably at one time or another had something taken from us. We can't live in this world without encountering a thief of some sort. I remember when I was in high school, somebody stole the radio out of my car. Now you may say, well, that's not that big a deal. To me, that was my lifeline. I coped by the music on my radio. In fact, I still say the 80s music was the best music ever. I coped by that, and it was devastating to lose that radio. The idea that somebody would steal that. And years ago when I used to live in my service truck for the most part, I was at a lot of hotels. I'd come back and things would be taken from my hotels. And I would just be exasperated. Now, granted, I didn't stay in the nicest of hotels oftentimes. But still, people would steal things. You know, there's book thieves in this world. I was also reading today, there's over 200 to 500 books per year stolen from libraries. And that comes up to a national loss of about $25 million for when you add each one of those libraries up that's lost that many books. 4,600 Bibles were stolen in one New York City hotel this past year. In a way, I hope they're reading them. But still, there's all kinds. There was another hotel, a startup in New York, that said that in the first 10 months, they lost 38,000 spoons, 18,000 towels, 355 of the silver coffee pots that were sitting on the table, and then on top of that, 1,500 silver finger bowls. I don't even know what a silver finger bowl is, but people were stealing them. There are a lot of thieves in this world, is what I'm trying to point out here, guys. In fact, there was a newspaper ad that said, to whomever stole the fire extinguisher out of my 1970 Ford station wagon, you'll need it where you're going. There's lots of thieves. There's a lot of people who steal things out there, guys. There was another story. This is the last one, I promise, but it stood out to me. The FBI was researching or investigating a bank robbery. This was the third bank robbery in a row. And he asked the teller, did you notice anything different about the man when they came and robbed the bank? She said, yeah, each one of the times he was dressed a little bit nicer. There's so many funny stories like that, but it's not funny when you're on the receiving end. Now, those kinds of thefts take place every day. We hear of thieving. We see people stealing. We know of people who are stealing. We know this happens very often and rampant around us. However, as powerful as that is, as monumental as it is to have somebody steal something from us, I would be amiss if I didn't point out to you that those are just physical things, that Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, that Satan has come not just to steal physical things, he has came to steal our spiritual things. There is thievery going on in the spiritual realm. Satan is in the business, if you will, of ripping off things that are far more important than jackets and jewelry. Satan has come to steal the things that takes our joy. This shouldn't come as a surprise to us. Jesus said it was going to happen. Verse 10, he says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It shouldn't surprise us that Satan wants to attack us, not at our material things, but he is interested in the spiritual. He could care less about cars and clothes. Folks, if you think that Satan's goal is to go out and steal your new truck, you're sadly mistaken. Now, he may have your truck stolen because you put more emphasis on that truck than the Bible, and he knows if he takes your truck, he's beat you physically, spiritually. But it's your spiritual wellness that Satan seeks to destroy. It's your spiritual wellness that Satan seeks to come in and steal that joy, to steal who you are. He doesn't need your truck. He doesn't need your clothes. He wants to be able to try to poke his finger in the eye of God. He is interested in stealing our spiritual treasures, things that we have value with God. Things that are of eternal significance. Things that mean much, much more than all the material stuff that's going to burn up eventually anyway.
Right.
Satan has come to work into himself into our lives to destroy what we are for Christ. Notice the progression there in John 10:10. He starts out, he begins with petty larceny. But then he moves on to actual killing, and then he goes on to mass destruction. You see, he comes into our spiritual life, and if we allow him to start stealing things, pretty soon it moves on to killing us, and then it goes to mass destruction. We self-destruct, and we find ourselves rocking in a corner somewhere, or we turn away from our faith and walk away from our faith. We walk away from Christ and what he's done in the church, and we say, well, it's just not real, or we don't care about it anymore, or Christ never was real. I've been to these professors. I see these news flicks, or if Christ was real, there wouldn't be poor, or there wouldn't be hunger, and we start making all these excuses and go into mass destruction because it started out with petty larceny, and we let him get away with it. We let him start stealing our joy. Maybe it's through a significant other. Maybe it's through our job. Maybe it's through an illness. But whatever it is, we allow Satan to come in and start attacking. And rather than fighting back, we just let him steal. That's his goal, guys, is the mass destruction. And it starts with stealing. So the message this morning is I want us to think just a little bit about the devil's strategy, if you will, how he steals. The devil's strategy, how he works into the life of a Christian and how he starts taking a hold of a Christian and the things he starts stealing. Now, if I was to list out, being a pastor for quite a few years now, counseling with a lot of people and dealing with a lot of issues of my own, I think that I have kind of lined out the way that Satan tends to steal, the things he attempts to steal so that he can work his way in to the killing aspect and then to the mass destruction. The first thing I would say that Satan really works on a Christian when he goes in is that he tries to take their first love. That Satan comes into the picture. Remember that time when you accepted Christ and you were on fire for him? You were on fire for Christ. You couldn't wait. Our appetite for God's word was voracious. We couldn't wait to just go to Bible study and hear the word of God. We couldn't wait to tell other people about God. Our eagerness to witness was overpowering. We couldn't wait to tell other people what God's doing in our life. And our love for God's house was enthusiastic. We couldn't wait to go and open the door. Every time the doors were open, we wanted to be there and learn and draw that much closer. When we first accepted Christ, if you think about it, even your prayer life, you might have thought, I don't know how to pray, but that burden for prayer was intense. You just wanted to say, thank you, Jesus. Like the song we just sang, running to his arms. When you first accept Christ, you just want to run there and have him wrap his arms around you and hold you. The question I would ask now is, what happened to that desire? What happened to that first love? This may be you this morning. I think so many of us, we allow Satan to steal our first love. We become good members in that church of Ephesus that talks about in Revelations chapter 2:2-5. That church that does everything by duty rather than because they are excited. That church that goes through and checks off all the boxes and does what it's supposed to do. But yet we've allowed Satan to steal those hot embers of devotion, those embers of zealousness. We're not going and doing the things at church because we want to. Oftentimes we're not going because we just can't wait to go and be a part of God's ministry. We're not going on visitation because we get to lead others to Christ. We're going because we're wanting to say, okay, God, I did what I was supposed to today. Now, I've had folks tell me, and with well-meaning, this is my duty to the church. Folks, God doesn't want us to do things because it's our duty. He wants us to do it because we love him.
Amen.
He loves us, and he said, now just go out there and be my sheep. Go out there and be my disciples. Go and share what I have given you. But if we allow Satan to steal that first love, if we forget about the love of God and just go out and serving God, we become those self-righteous, nose-in-the-air Christians that are looking down on everybody else. I went to church and I did this and I did this and I did this. Our zeal for God is gone. Folks, I would submit to you this morning that if that is you, if you're just doing everything out of duty, you've been ripped off. Satan has moved in and he has stolen your first love. And that's something that you need to go to God and ask for back. Now, if he can't steal that, you know what he moves on to then? I believe he moves to our joy. He comes in, he's going to try to steal our joy, our song of praise, as we were just singing, the spring in our step. Our positive outlook on life. You know, if somebody says, well, I can't believe that they sing Pharaoh, Pharaoh. How dare they sing something that fast and that quick in church? Where's your fun? Where's your joy? Amen. I guarantee you that God didn't suck lemons and sit on his hands all the time. Amen. We should have joy in our life. We should have spring in our walk. But unfortunately, so many times Satan moves in and takes that positive outlook on life and our smiles become frowns. You know what Nehemiah says? Nehemiah says joy is the source of strength. Do you know what that means if you turn that around and put it the other way? If you extrapolate it a little bit, you look to that. If joy is the source of my strength, then when my joy in the Lord is gone, when that joy of the Lord is gone in my life, I'm going to be left weak and ineffective. Amen. If the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I let Satan take that joy, then I've just become a number. I've just become a body. When I allow people to come in and however they may do it, or my job or my finances or my health, when I allow something to move in my life to steal my joy, I become weak and ineffective, guys. I become that person that's just showing up on Sunday. R.A. Torrey says that there is more joy in Jesus in 24 hours than there is in the world in 365 days of the year. Hallelujah, I agree. When we are truly living for Christ, when I can truly stand and you can throw all kinds of a barrage of nastiness at me, but I can step back and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I choose to trust in Him rather than them. I can stand with my head high and have a smile on my face and still be singing as I run to His arms. Amen. Never sang Pharaoh, Pharaoh, but it's kind of going around in my head again. I can have joy. And guys, I'm going to share with you this morning that when you have that joy, when you do not allow Satan to rip that out of you, to take that away from you, when you are living your life for the joy of the Lord, God's going to use you. Amen. You may not see it coming, but all of a sudden there's going to be great and mighty works. Why? Because the joy of the Lord was made in you, and the joy of the Lord is what gives us strength. So we need to be on guard. Now, Satan can't steal our first love. If he can't steal our joy, I think that he's going to move in then. And we've talked a little bit the last few weeks about our unique calling. I think if he can't steal your first love, if he can't steal your joy, then he moves in and takes that calling, that gift that you have. He comes in and starts saying, let's say you had this dream, you want to teach. You want to sing, you want to work with youth, you want to work with children. You've got this idea, maybe I'm going to be a preacher. Maybe God's called me to step out and man, I love children. I think God's called me to be a children's leader. But then something happens. Someone comes in and they criticize you. Or someone comes in and they hurt you in some way. And all of a sudden you just think, well, maybe I'm not fit to do that. Maybe I'm not fit to sing. Maybe I'm not fit to teach the youth. Maybe I'm not fit to go and mow the yard or sew the baptismal gowns or whatever it may be. Maybe I'm just not what I need to be. And all of a sudden we've allowed Satan to move into our lives. You know, I was just mentioning to Chris, look how our music people are growing up here. Hallelujah. Thank you. They're coming up not because they're professional singers. They're coming up because they have this gift. I want to sing. I want to let praise my God. And rather than criticizing them and putting them down, well, sing. Amen. When we allow people, when we allow things to come in and take away that opportunity, when we get disparate, when we allow ourselves to become looking down, when we allow ourselves to become sad, and when we allow ourselves to become discouraged, that's the word I'm looking for, because somebody has criticized us, Satan sees his chance. He's going to pounce on us. When he sees that we have a defeated spirit, he is going to jump on there, and he's going to see we're weak, he's going to see we're vulnerable, and he's going to jump on and say, who do you think you are going to sing up there at that church? Who do you think you are thinking you can teach the youth? Didn't you hear sister so-and-so? She said you're fat and ugly, and your mama dresses you funny. Didn't you hear brother so-and-so? He said you sound like a bunch of screaming ducks going the wrong way. All of a sudden, he's going to put these things in your head, and he's going to try to steal it and steal your calling when God has told you, I want you there. Amen. When we allow Satan to steal that unique calling, guys, you know what we have done? We've allowed Satan to come in and take that sense of purpose, that sense of meaning, that sense of fulfillment that we could have had with Christ. We may still have our first love. We may still even have joy. But it's hard to serve him when we allow Satan to come in and take our sense of purpose. God's put us there, and he wants us to be a teacher. He wants us to be a leader of some sort. But we allow other people to tell us what we can and cannot do in that aspect. And Satan comes in and says, ha. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because your enemy, this is Satan, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he shall devour. You know what the lions do? They hide in the weeds, and they look for those who are weak and those who are falling back by the wayside, and he pounces upon them. When we allow Satan to steal that unique calling in our life, when we allow Satan to use other people to tell us we're not good enough for this, that, or the other, then we've set ourselves out there for that lion to pounce upon us. And he does. Now, if he can't steal your first love, if he can't steal your joy, and he can't steal your, let's say he tried, but he can't steal your calling, he's going to try to steal your influence. If he sees, man, there's just no stopping this guy. There's no stopping this sister. She has got her first love. She's got joy. She's got everything going on. And you know what? I'm going to do something to get him discouraged. I'm going to throw something out there to steal their influence. He will start throwing all kinds of bait and lures out there. Some way he wants to take your eyes off Christ. And Ian and I was just talking a moment ago about a movie he had me watch. And in a moment's time, here's a man who has built a church. He's a godly man. It was a Holy Spirit church. And he was preaching, and he was a powerful man, just loved the Lord. But in a moment of weakness, a weakness that was very realistic in this movie, if you will, he allowed himself to do something stupid. And because of that split-second bad decision, it ruined the rest of his life. Now, he went on and God used him in another church and then used him in a prison. But still, because of that split-second timing, Satan is trying everything he can to steal our influence. When we give in, when we allow ourselves to be enticed into a sin, he's going to do everything he can to make sure everybody else discovers it. When we allow ourselves to be enticed into that moment and do something dumb, Satan is going to go out and he's going to scream it from the mountaintops. And what happens? Our influence is over. He doesn't want, if he can't take us down, then he'll do everything he can to make sure that we don't bring others to Christ through our godly influence. He'll start telling others, oh, what are you listening to him for? Did you know I saw where his car was parked last week? Do you know about 10 years ago that man drank half a bottle of wine? Ooh, Lord. We'll make up, you know, Satan will do whatever he can to point out any indiscretions to take our influence. He will do everything he can to set us up to fail in someone else's eyes. That's another reason why we on the other side, you know, I heard my wife telling somebody just the other day, don't put somebody up on a pedestal because you're setting them up to fall off. Christ is the one who should be on the pedestal, period. We should be looking up to Christ, not to a man or to a woman. We should be looking to Christ. However, it doesn't change the fact that people do tend to judge one another, and Satan is going to do everything he can to steal our influence. When we drop our guard, Satan is going to be quicker than you can possibly imagine to jump in there. And maybe we lose our temper. That's what happened in that movie. And Lord knows that used to be me. I could lose my temper and say something. It's like instantaneously I'd want it back. I remember years ago, I was driving, this is when phones were about this big, but I had a cell phone, and I had, my boss was angry, I had customers angry, and neither one of them knew what they were talking about, and I got so mad, I threw the phone out the window, and I was like, oh, I need that. I have to pay for that. Too late, once that phone hit the deck, it was gone. Dumb things that just cause major ramifications. When we lose our temper, maybe we gossip and the word gets out. Yeah, don't go tell the deacons over at that church. You tell them and everybody's going to know it. Don't go tell that pastor because that pastor's going to share with everybody. I see everybody fanning. Pat, can you turn one of the air conditioners on for me back there?
Amen.
Amen. It gets loud. Those air conditioners are loud. That's why Pat turns them off when we get going. But guys, don't allow Satan to move in your life and steal these things. Whether it's fair or not, does not matter. It doesn't matter. Satan will have stolen your impact. But it's not fair. I was living such a good, godly life, and it was just a one-moment, brief time. He steals your influence. So if he can't steal your joy, if he can't steal your first love, he'll steal your joy. If he can't steal your joy, then he's going to move on and steal your unique calling. If he can't steal your calling, he'll try to steal your influence on others. The next thing I think that Satan tries to steal, and guys, listen to this, and I'm building these up so you can see the things that he's after so that you can protect these and go back for them. But the next thing I would say is he's doing everything he can to steal our marriages. If you didn't already know it, that he is engaged in an all-out assault on the family today. Absolutely so. And how has he accomplished that? He's allowed us to get so socialized by our TV sets and our movies that we're allowing Hollywood and the media and whomever to tell us how we should live rather than getting back to what we know we should be living by. And we say, well, that's the way they do it in the movies. That's the way they do it on TV. Young people grow up and then they go out and watch the TV and say, well, that's the way things are supposed to be done. It broke my heart. I was reading a statistic just this past week. I can't remember the actual numbers. But with all the important things going on in the world, The Bachelor had the highest viewing a couple of weeks ago. The most worthless show on TV just about is what everybody wants to go and judge and fake, put their lives upon. Absolute fake. But all of a sudden it's reality to how many people. Now, not that it was real, but to those people, it becomes a reality. And that's what they base their lives on. Folks, Satan is trying to tear down if he can tear apart the family, he's tore apart the church. For the family is based on the morality that's based upon what the church has taught. And a family without morality is going to fall apart, and a country without morality is going to fall apart. There's no way around that. You either have a country that's going to be built on morality and upholds the standards that God put forth as morality, or you're going to move to a dictatorship where there's a man telling you what you can and cannot do. It's one or the other. There is no in-betweens. That's just the way. We have been created, the family was created, and that's what builds a healthy person, a healthy family, a healthy country, and you can continue to expound upon that. Tear apart the foundation and the house comes crumbling down. Now, lastly, that Satan can steal. If he can't steal your joy, he can't steal your first love, he can't steal your joy, he can't steal your unique calling, he can't steal your influence, you keep a good family, you keep a good moral set, the next thing I think he goes after then is if I can just take their faith, if I can just put doubts in their mind. If I can replace their faith with doubt. Folks, let me tell you, the Bible speaks of lying spirits. The Bible talks about spirits of unbelief, those that whisper in our ears. When I was in college, I loved to have conversations with professors, and I found a lot, there's a whole lot of things theological professors will tell you that's absolute bunk. I can say bunk. Yeah, that's okay. And then there's stuff that professors, secular professors will say is absolute bunk. Because they're coming from their own personal worldviews. When we allow the facts to line up with what God's Word says, we'll see they actually jive. Science is the pursuit of truth. Truth is the Word of God. And I can see where science is proving the Word of God. Amen. But if I want to go from the right, or that's left, from the left or the right, I can make it mean whatever I want it to mean. And so then the spirits of lying, the spirit of doubt moves into my mind, and I start doubting my faith, start doubting who I am. If I was to ask you this morning, how big is your God? Many of you would say, oh, he's big, he's great. The next question I would say, how many of you honestly expect answers to your prayers? Because so many times I think we pray, and when it happens, we're astounded. Wow, did you see that? I prayed and it happened. Well, yeah, you prayed. Where was your faith at? It's supposed to happen. If your faith was in line with the will of God, then it was supposed to happen. If you were astounded that all of a sudden a prayer came to be true, I just wonder where your faith has been all that time. Our faith should be in a God that answers prayers, that this is a God who is great and powerful and mighty. This is a God who can make things happen. Folks, Satan wants to steal your trust in an all-knowing and an all-powerful God, and he will do everything he can to put that doubt in your mind. Do you still look every day, in a new day, when you get up in the morning, Do you still stop and ask yourself, what awesome things God's going to do in your life today? You know, you've heard me say, and I believe this, that every day, this is a day, I should get up and say, this is a day the Lord hath made, I shall rejoice and be glad in it. But then I continue on from there and say, and I just wonder what great and mighty things He's going to do today. Maybe it might be a word I find in my study. Maybe it'll be a conversation I have with somebody. Maybe it's this or maybe it's that. I don't know, but I still need to stop and say, God, what is it You're showing me today? But yet we let Satan steal our trust. Now, all that being said, if we know that there is a thief running around in the spiritual realm, if we know that Satan is out to steal our first love, to steal our joy, to steal our calling, to steal my influence, to steal my marriage and the morality that this family was built upon. If I know that Satan is out there to steal my faith and all these things, then what can I do about it? What recourse do I have? Praise God. And here's what I hope you remember this morning, guys. If any of these things have affected you, if any of these things have been prevalent in your life at any one time or another, remember this. God recovers stolen property. That my God is bigger than the thief and knows where He lives. Amen. That my God knows how to go in and take it back. In Genesis chapter 14, 16, Abraham, when he realized everything had been stolen, went through the power of God, went and took it all back. Lot, the people, everything. He got it all back. When we go on down, we recover and think about the prodigal son. David spoke a little bit about last Thursday. The prodigal son, when he realized, man, I've squandered all my riches. I've squandered my esteem. I've squandered my faith. I just want to go back and be a servant in my father's house. God said, he comes back and God says, and that's through a parable, but God says, put a robe around him, kill the fattened calf, put a ring on his finger, and let him know that he is mine. He has been recovered. David, when David, he was a murderer, he was an adulterer. David did all kinds of ugly stuff in the Bible. But yet when he cried out unto God, God said, there is a man after my own heart. God took David back. Regardless of how far down the road we have traveled and have allowed Satan to steal our joy, regardless of how far we've allowed him to steal our first love, regardless of whether we've allowed him to steal our faith, our morality, whatever it is, when we stop and go back to God and say, Father, here I am, God recovers stolen property. And he will move into the life of Satan and say, you can't have this anymore. What was once possessed is going to be repossessed. My people will have it back. If we will turn to the one who is the absolute best at repossessing what is rightfully ours. Strength comes through the joy of the Lord. And you may be here this morning, and there are so many in churches today, and with what's happened in this church, it is real easy to stop and allow Satan to steal our joy. With the way that people can be mean-spirited and ugly and hateful to one another, it's real easy to let Satan steal our joy, steal our faith. But when we will stop and say, Father God, it's not his to be had. It is yours, and I ask for it back. Father, I forgive me for turning away. I look back to you now. Father, forgive me for sinning and losing my influence. Make me the man or woman you called me to today. He'll take that, make it part of your testimony, and then bang, you're back where you're supposed to be. Even if there's consequences, the movie that I was just speaking of, the man ended up going to jail, but you know how the movie ends? He's on a chain gang, but he has everybody on the chain gang singing about Jesus. We can have joy in the Lord regardless of where we're at if we will give it back to Christ. Father God, here I am. Satan has come in. He has stolen my joy. He has stolen my first love. He has stolen my calling. He has stolen my morality. He has stolen my influence. He has stolen my faith. But I have now acknowledged that it's gone and I turn back to you. Father, forgive me. And you know what my God says? I am faithful and true to forgive you all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Folks, when we take it back and give it to God, He gives it all back. On a worldly view, in 1914, Thomas Edison had a $2 million fire. Think about $2 million in 1914, what that would be today. His insurance only covered a quarter of it. But you know what he told his employees? He said to his assistants, all our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start new. And 3 weeks later, he introduced the phonograph, the record player. Hallelujah. Folks, Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to tear us down. He wants to destroy everything we are. But what did Jesus say? Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come so that you may have abundant life. Folks, we have been destined, we have been called, we have been placed in the Father's hands so we can have abundant life. What a contrast. What a Savior. All we have to do is seek His face. So the question this morning, because we're living in a day and age with social media that people just love to attack each other. They don't want to get the facts. They just want to attack. All we have to do when these folks attack, if we allow it to steal our joy, if we're starting to allow it to steal our faith, if we allow it to start to steal anything, is stop and say, whoa. Call on the godly law firm, if you will. Go to Jesus. Say, Father God, Satan has come in here and he's trying to steal. Or maybe you may have to say, Satan's come in and he's stolen. He's stolen my joy. Forgive me, Lord. And the great thing is, guys, God's right there. Now, you may need to call on the Lord this morning. You may need to call on Him right now, maybe for your marriage. Maybe you realize Satan's trying to tear apart your marriage, trying to tear apart the morality your marriage was based on. Maybe you have lost your influence because of some mistake you've made in the past. Guys, we all make mistakes. Lord knows I would be lying through my teeth if I told you from up here that I was perfect. I make mistakes on a daily basis. But I serve a God who understands. And if I do something so dumb that it loses my influence, rather than let Satan drag me down and just lay in the dirt and oh, poor me, I'm going to say, Father, forgive me. Maybe your faith has grown tired and weak. Maybe your faith has left you. You can turn to Him right now and say, Father, forgive me. And as that prodigal son, crawl back and He'll say, here you are. Here I am. And we're together. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know the peace and the joy and the love that comes with that abundant life. Abundant life doesn't mean you have a lot of money. Doesn't mean you get to eat steak every night. Abundant life doesn't mean that you're never going to get sick, you're never going to get ill, never going to have pains, you're never going to hurt. You know what abundant life really means? And I came to this conclusion just a little while back. It means I can have joy in my heart regardless of what the world does. That regardless of what people say or do, even those close to me, my joy doesn't come from them. I enjoy them. But my joy comes from my Lord. That's why I was singing a while ago. I guess that's why. It just wrapped me in such a euphoria a while ago. So I was singing to my Lord. I didn't care if y'all heard me. Y'all might have cared, but I didn't. I was singing to my Lord. Man, I'm going to run to His arms one day. Actually, every day.
Amen.
And you can run to His arms too. Satan is a thief. And if he can steal your joy, he stole your effectiveness. Let's ask God for it back. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. If God's speaking to you today, you may say, well, this isn't the typical Palm Sunday sermon. I don't know about this. That's okay. My God died and rose again, so I can have Him as my Lord, my Savior. Amen.
Amen.
He holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And that is that Palm Sunday sermon.
Amen.
He is the Messiah.
Amen.
He is the one that fulfilled the prophecies. He is the one that will take us to that road to Jericho. He is that one that is going to lift us up into the Holy of Holies, which is His house.
Amen.
If we will just trust Him to do so.
Satan
doesn't want you to go. He doesn't want you to believe it exists. But praise God, my God's bigger. And when we shut off the world and turn on the light of Christ, my heart knows it too.
Amen.
Where are you this morning? If God's speaking to you, I pray that you will listen. Whatever it may be. And Satan may be screaming in your ear right now. Who's that bald-headed guy up there? Let me tell you all the stuff he's done. Let me tell you how many times he puts his foot in his mouth. Only God could tell you, because I don't know how many times it's so many. But my God's bigger. Where are you this morning? Let's all stand. I want to lead us in a word of prayer. Father God, I come before you this morning, and I acknowledge that Satan is a thief. I acknowledge, as you said, he comes to steal, kill, and tear apart. He comes to destroy us from the inside out. He doesn't care about our houses and our cars. He cares about our spiritual being. Father, I pray right now that you will guard the hearts and the minds of every individual here. And may they close off any of the tactics and things that Satan's using to shut them down. And may they hear you right now. May they hear you speak to their heart. May they that still small voice in the distance, may they heed it right now and realize that you are who you say you are, regardless of what the world has said. That they can have joy again in their life. That they can have faith in their life. That they can have power again in their life. If they will just turn away from the things that Satan has stolen and ask you to redo them back into their lives. Father, I pray that your will be done in the hearts of your people this day. Whether here in this building, whether viewing on the YouTube, or whether it's out by the radio, whatever it may be. If anyone hears this message, may they not hear Frank, but may they hear you. Just as that father was looking into the distance for his son to come home, we know that you're looking for us to turn and come home as well. God, may your will be done in the hearts of your people, in the hearts of your children, Lord, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If God's speaking to you today, please step out. Don't turn your back on him, guys. Listen to what he has to say.
This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing.
My favorite. She said,
"She just didn't see the last."
Guys, whatever the Lord's doing in your life, let Him do it. Don't allow Satan to move into your life. If God says that you're the next musician, and you may say, "I don't know how to play an instrument," maybe God's saying it's time to pick one up. If He says you're the next teacher, don't allow Satan to say you don't know anything. Pick up a Bible and start studying. Guys, whatever it is that Satan is trying to steal from you today, and I know he's got a full-out assault on our families, whatever it is, don't give up. Put your eyes on Jesus and trust Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you can grab a seat for just a moment, I've got one more thing I want to do here. Jackie, Bill, no, y'all don't get to sit down. Come on up. I know you've been seeing him around a lot, and Jackie's been working in our office doing some things for us as well. But Bill and Jackie Grayson are coming this morning. They both know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They said they feel as though that God's called them to be a part of our body and be a part of this church this morning. So everybody in the court and say amen or huzzah. That'll work too. Hallelujah. Good. Guys, make sure you give them a hug. You know, just let them know that you're glad they're here. Jackie will step up on a stool for you if she needs to. Amen.
Guys, I've met for a lot of years.
You have. You have. I've known Jackie and Bill for a very long time, and I praise the Lord for them. Guys, if God's moving in your heart, do as they done. Make that choice, whether it's to join the church, accept Christ, pursue that gift of whatever it may be. Well, let's go together and let Christ be at the lead. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to stand one more time. I want you to come down and give Bill and Jackie a hug. Let them know that you're here for them, or catch them at the front door. I won't make them stand up front all day. But let them know you're glad to have them as a part of your family this evening. And guys, keep looking up. No matter what happens, keep looking up. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good seeing everybody this morning. Praise the Lord for each one of you. Rod, would you close us in prayer this morning, brother?
You are dismissed, guys.